I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Tammy Drake, you're the Director of Research and Regulatory Policy for the Center for a Humane Economy. You led the charge in getting the passage of that FDA Modernization Act, and I'm sure it felt really good, and it was a heavy lift to get that done. Describe for me what the situation is now in terms of animal testing and experimentation. What kinds of things are done? I know it's tough stuff to hear this. What kinds of things are done to dogs and cats and primates and other species?
Yes, it isn't pretty. And when you're looking at testing for pharmaceuticals, primarily they start with safety pharmacology and general toxicology, right? They're looking at cardiovascular system, central nervous system, gastrointestinal, respiratory, all of that stuff. And then they have to try to find a safety margin for a first-in-human dose. In that process, they are using rodents and non-rodents. For instance, if they're looking for acute toxicity, they'll use 20 rats, dogs, or primates. And when they do that, everybody dies, right? And in most cases, and Zahair can correct me if I'm wrong because I've never worked in a lab, thankfully, all the animals are killed. You know, they go into chronic testing over time. They use more and more animals, and they kill them because they want to do a necropsy to see what the heck happened inside.
So they basically inject them with whatever drug or poison it is to the point where, that's the dose that kills them.
Exactly. And it actually, that's exactly what they do, and they have to bring it down to where they have, they call it Noel. Correct me if I'm wrong, Zahair. You're the scientist. Observed adverse effect level, right? So what they do is they'll start as, okay, that killed everybody. Let's go down a little bit. Okay, that killed half of them, and then they'll keep trying till they get to a dose where everybody seems okay. It's gruesome, you know, and as an animal lover, you know, it's reprehensible, but then they have to do carcinogenicity. Sometimes they do ocular and skin irritation, phototoxicity, and then they do efficacy testing. And when we're speaking pharmaceuticals, pretty much everybody dies. All the animals, whether it's the monkeys, the dogs, the mice, the rats, the cats, whatever they're using as a model.
And primates.
Primates. I mean,
Dr. Zahir, wouldn't primates be, you'd think that they were, the results from that are more reproducible. Well, what kinds of things are done to primates? I think you mentioned 70,000 a year that we know of.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So you would think, George, that primates are, they are believed to be closest to us in terms of, behavior and physiology. But the reality is, even in primates, there are fundamental differences between us and them that do not translate when it comes to medical sciences. I give you an example of COVID-19, which is, everybody here is familiar with this. We went through that ordeal, all of us. In fact, non-human primates did not get COVID. They have a structural difference in the way receptors work, make them more immune to COVID infection. And therefore, they are terrible as a model to study that of infection. Imagine if we, in fact, there hasn't been a recorded non-human primate dying from disease burden or multifactorial system failure, the hallmark of COVID-19 death. So from the get-go, George, the translatability is not there. But let's assume, given the general belief that primates are close to us, there is a fundamental issue with primate in terms of leading us down a rabbit hole when it comes to the pharmacokinetics and the dosage that Tammy has just talked about, and the lethality and how do you take that dose and apply it to humans. So you have heard recently about the shortage of primates. This has broken out that story last year. Basically, we used to import a lot of primates from China, and Tammy actually is an expert on this, and I wrote an opinion piece for Truth Out last year on that, where I chronicled the issue with the primate and the futility of using primates. I mean, to cut a long story short, shortages from the imports of primates have been somewhat compensated from Cambodia. But then again, that has been mired with smuggling issues, and Tammy can actually shed more light on this, to the point that the Fish and Wildlife handed criminal indictments, in November of 2022, again, reducing the imports from Cambodia. And the animal research enthusiasts have been trying to increase the breeding programs, the domestic breeding programs of primates, and that is that's a terrible idea. That has been a quest for decades, and they have used this particular instance of the shortage in primate for laboratory testing to kind of promote that agenda.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way. Knocking on Doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Is he breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Tammy, I want to talk about the primate experimentation. Before we get into the regulatory situation, can you tell me what is done to primates? Is it the same as with dogs? They're injected until they die?
Yes.
I ask because I've seen these horrible photos of where these little monkeys have their heads shaved and their brains are cut open while they're alive and awake.
Yep. They put them in, and not just for, you know, if you look at basic research as well as drug development, like NIH-funded, we have 7 national primate research centers here in the U.S., and NIH funds all of them. And some of the experimentation is so shocking. For instance, here in Oregon, I live in Oregon, the Oregon National Primate Research Center does a lot of experimentation on drunk monkeys to the tune of probably $30 million. And then they got another grant to do drunk monkeys and COVID. And there's another experiment that is very famous that happened here in Oregon, and I don't think they're doing it now, but it was a maternal obesity study. They would get, impregnate, and I think these were rhesus macaques monkeys, feed them a high-fat junk food diet, and then when the offspring is born, they'd take it from their mother and scare the monkey and then cut the baby monkey's brain open to see what happened. And I don't know, George, I don't know about you, but tell me, how does that benefit us? I'm trying to figure it out, because if you think most of the research for HIV/AIDS vaccine has been done on non-human primates. Many were done on chimpanzees. We don't experiment on chimpanzees in the U.S. anymore. But 30 to 40 vaccines in approximately 90 clinical trials involving more than 20,000 human volunteers, every single one of the vaccines failed. Every single one. It cost our tax dollars billions. And it's been 30 years.
You know, the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, that sounds like a respectable outfit. I've just read, you know, working on cancer and really big stuff. But reading about the things that they allow, that they permit, it's a terrible blemish. Zahir, you must work with these folks over the years. Can you give me the broad picture on what they approve?
Yeah. Yes, and I was, you know, I was funded by the NIH, and so first of all, it's, and I know folks at the NIH personally, and I've worked with different program officers, and I can tell you that the staff of the NIH are some of the most dedicated people you will ever meet in your life. So the issue is not about the talent at the NIH, or the issue about the politics that interfere with the work of the NIH and the special interest groups. So the NIH is, as you know, is a $45 billion a year. That was the budget of 2022, $45 billion. We are talking a huge number. And for the last 7 years, George, the budget of the NIH has been consistently increasing. So it's wonderful to have to be in a country where science is funded and appreciated. Our position is that a lot of the science that is funded, particularly the science that is going into animal research, which is by some estimate is 47% of the total NIH budget. Oh. So we are talking here about $25 billion, $20 to $20. This is not a small amount of money every year. You know, we believe that a lot of that is actually supporting wasteful research. And that is a tragedy, because the mission of the NIH is really to promote human health and to advance the innovation and discovery of the molecular basis of the diseases in order to translate that into remedies and cures and treatments. So there is an issue there, George, a fundamental issue, probably a $22 billion issue a year in terms of using the proper modeling and funding innovative research that needed to be funded so that we do not get a 95% failure rate when we translate the what they call basic science experiments in mostly on animals, into human action and outcomes. So there is a huge issue there. But I give the folks at the NIH, you know, credit for being so dedicated to finding cures. One thing that the public does not know is that actually the NIH does not fund science. Now, you know, let me explain what I mean by that, because that sounds like blasphemy. What the NIH does, it assembles on committees and study sections members from the academic community. So they bring, you know, scientists to review these grants and rank them. So who really decides at the end of the day, the committees made up of scientists in ranking and evaluating grants. It's really not the NIH. It's the scientific community. And that scientific community is 99% biased towards animal experimentation. So you can, you know, you can do the math and get to the conclusion that unless that changed radically, unless we have a radical change in the process of how we evaluate grants and spike these commitments with individuals who really understand what we are talking about when we talk about alternative methods to animal testing, innovative technology, artificial intelligence, organoids, organoid chip, and these type of new technologies that are more human relevant. We are going to continue to perpetuate the error and continue to fund unfortunately, projects that will lead us nowhere.
Well, you would think NIH, with all their expertise, must know that these billions of dollars are being wasted. That it's not producing what they want. That money could be put into something that is far more productive and may actually make some progress on these issues.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.